Hey girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast, it's all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. I am so excited that you're here for today's episode because we have on the show a woman that I deeply admire. She's actually been on the show before, but I had to bring her back because she's so good. Her name is Patrice Washington. And if you're not familiar, she's a best-selling author. She's got a brand new book called Redefine Wealth for Yourself, which is all about stopping this like chase for money and more intentionally stepping into your life's purpose. She was named by Success Magazine as one of the 12 most inspiring Black voices in personal development. She's been featured in all sort of media outlets and press because she's got a lot of expertise in finances, but also in this holistic approach to, you know, redefining that term of wealth and taking it back to its original meaning, which is well-being. She's a powerhouse speaker. Honestly, she's one of the best speakers that I've ever heard. She's got a podcast, the Redefining Wealth Podcast, that has reached well over 7 million downloads. Basically, she's just an incredible woman who's impacting thousands of lives. And if you haven't heard her speak before or heard her on the previous episode of the podcast, you're going to see why. Like, she just feels like she's one of your best friends instantly. And in today's episode, we talk about purpose and fulfillment, carving your own path. It's so juicy. I think you're going to love it. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Patrice, I am so excited that you're here. Welcome back to the show.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me back again and again.
Yes.
And again.
Oh, because what you speak about and how you deliver content and your heart and your joy and your just like real talk, it hits home so much with me and I know with so many women in my community. So thank you for how you show up in the world, first and foremost.
Oh, thank you.
And also, because you've been on the podcast before, we've talked a little bit more about your backstory. So I kind of wanted to use this opportunity to, of course, talk to them about your new book, which I'm so excited about, which if they are listening and not seeing this video, it's called Redefine Wealth for Yourself. And you talk a lot about pillars and really it's tactical, tangible advice with also storytelling woven in, which I feel like is the best way for people to digest information. Mm-hmm. So I love your book. So I want to talk all about that. But I also wanted to just kind of get your perspective on some things that women in my community ask me about and hear your take on it.
Okay.
So yeah, so this is gonna be fun. So first, I get a lot of women that are struggling of feeling like, quote unquote, what is my purpose? And obviously you speak a ton about this. So can we just kind of dive into like, how do you figure out what your purpose is? How do you determine if something's aligned or when you need to make a change? Like, how do you work through that for yourself? Mm-hmm.
Such a good question. Okay. So I want to start by saying that I don't think any of us are actually looking for our purpose. Mm-hmm. I believe the challenge is we're not ready to embrace it, right? So I think we spend so much time looking to the left, looking to the right, comparing with so-and-so, that if we really just embrace the things that we were born to do, the things that come to us naturally, and just figure out our way of using it in the marketplace to be a blessing to others, right? Then we are walking in purpose, right? It doesn't have to look like some sexy thing. It's like whatever your thing is good enough. And so the way that I share with people about how to determine it is, first of all, to understand it's not the same as passion. So a lot of times we hear, follow your passion and the money will come. Okay, that's not, let's like get that out the way right now. Things that you are passionate about, they bring you joy. They light you up. It gives you energy. And that is amazing. Doesn't always mean that you're proficient in it. So it doesn't always mean that you're going to be able to use it to make a living for yourself, right? To sustain yourself, to create prosperity. That's a hobby. And we all need hobbies. They are so great for our mental health. Doesn't mean that it's your purpose and what you need to focus on day in and day out. So that's what I think sometimes we get confused. So when we're talking about purpose, like passion is for you, Purpose is for others.
Passion. So good.
Purpose is for others. And the way you live your life's purpose is to be able to do that thing that you do well. You do it better than anyone else, right, around you with the least amount of effort. And you figured out a way to utilize it in the marketplace to earn a living and also be a blessing to others, right? And so that is, I'm walking in purpose. Now, here's the catch, though. Purpose evolves.
Yeah.
So what may have felt like my purpose 10 years ago doesn't necessarily represent what I feel purpose to do now. And the challenge is when we think we found our purpose, we feel guilty, right? Or we feel so uncertain when we're starting to feel this tug that's saying it's time to go in a new direction. But we got to remember purpose evolves and the common thread may stay the same, but how you express it in the marketplace is allowed to evolve because you're always going to be exposed to new people, new opportunities, new styles of marketing. My purpose was not to be a podcaster.
Yeah.
Right? Podcasting became a new way that I market, but my gift has always been talking. So I was talking when there was just, you know.
When it was just talking to yourself in the shower.
Yeah. And me in the classroom getting in trouble every day, like elementary school, like right through high school, right?
Me too, girl.
Always in trouble for talking. Well, I've always talked. That's my gift. But then to find my purpose, I had to figure out, talk about what?
Yeah.
What do I want to speak about? What do I want to use my voice to create in the world? Like, what message do I want to share? I've always talked, right? And talking, let's be real, is not sexy. No one's like, you know what I want to do when I grow up? I really just want to talk. I mean, unless maybe you're Oprah and you're like, oh, I'm talking host. I don't know. I never thought about being a talk show host or any of those things. But once I realized, wow, I'm really passionate about personal finance. So I used my gift and then I attached it to something that I was passionate about. I love talking about money. I love talking about business. I love women's empowerment. Those things are not new to me. That's who I was really as a kid. I didn't know to call it that, but I've been in this, you know, operating in these gifts for a long time, right? Yeah. I didn't know they were something that I could use to truly build a life and career with and be a blessing to others. Yeah. And it was the thing that I have been doing my whole life.
Yeah. At what point did that click for you that you could use this natural gift and direct it in a way that the market needed that so you could add value? Mm-hmm. When did that click for you for the woman that's listening to this and she's like, oh yes, I love what Patrice is saying, but I don't know what my thing is. Like, I feel like I know what my gifts are, but like, how do I know where to direct it? How did you know that there was an avenue that you could take in that direction?
I did not know what it was until I hit rock bottom. I was at my lowest point. And so I always thought I was a numbers person, right? So I got into real estate, as you know, like really young, started real estate and mortgage brokerage, did very well, hit 7 figures. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to do this for the rest of my life. This is great. Until the recession hit and I lost everything. And when I was at my lowest point and could go nowhere but up, honestly, it was a really difficult season. When I looked back over my life, and this is an exercise I always suggest people do. When I started to look back over my life, I started to try to pinpoint, like, what are the times that have made me the most happy? Like, what are the times that I've felt the most at home in myself, right? And to grow my real estate business to 7 figures, what people didn't know is a big part of that is I used to go out and speak. So I would go to churches and talk. And I would create workshops and no one gave me a blueprint for how to lead a workshop. I just like knew it was just innate. It was like, I want to teach people this, but before I give them what they want, I probably need to give them some of this. And I need to like, make sure they're clear about the myths around this. And I just like, I was creating these workshops, right? And when I lost everything and I was thinking about like all the things that I always liked, not just as an adult, but even going back to high school, middle school, I was class president only because I wanted to get on stage and talk.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, I ran for this student body thing in middle school or, you know, elementary school because I wanted to talk at the podium. The podium was like the thing, right? And so I was looking back and I was like, I've always enjoy talking. Like I've always enjoyed being on stage. And I thought about my debutante that I had at 13 years old and how intimidated I was because all of the girls were twirling batons and doing flips and playing the piano and the flute and all this. And I was so concerned. I almost pretended to be sick not to go.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't have a talent. I don't have a talent. And then I remember going, I'm just going to like write a speech. And I wrote some speech, girl, in my like 13-year-old mind. Like I wrote some speech and I got a standing ovation. And I will never forget. I'm up there in my little dress, my little French roll girl, the pearls down the French roll. I will never forget that for a moment there, I was like, they're just trying to be nice. I was already battling my own situations, right? I thought they were trying to be nice. And then I remember like other people coming up, people's parents coming up to me after and saying, oh my gosh, you're such a gifted speaker. Oh my God. And I was like, really? That was 13. You know what I did though? I ignored it as a thing. I ignored it.
Why do you think you ignored it?
It wasn't sexy. It wasn't the flute. It wasn't piano. It wasn't, I played basketball, but I knew I wasn't playing in college. You know, it's like, it didn't look like so-and-so's. I wasn't a dancer. I'm a black girl, but girl don't have rhythm like that, honey. Like my rhythm, a little suspect, you know? So I was like, I don't have all the things because I was like speaking, like I gave a speech. That's boring or that's whack. And it was actually one of the most moving things from what I understood after at debutante.
Yeah. So you encourage people to really like look back to their past of kind of like, what are some of the through lines that you're like, these are all connected in a weird way. And can I realign the direction that I'm taking? Cause there's so many women that feel really unfulfilled, right? Maybe they went to school, they got the job, they're now in management roles, they're doing the thing, they check the boxes and they're like, shit, now what? They say now what, but intuitively they're getting this gut feeling that you mentioned of like, I want to make a change, but I'm scared because it's not going to be sexy, right? Because it's not this title or whatever it is, or I'm going to have to start at the beginning and I'm going to suck because I'm starting something new. And of course I suck at the beginning, right?
You know what?
Yeah.
The thing that I would tell anyone though is the juice is in the journey.
Yeah.
Like we are so caught up in the title and the, first of all, you know, when I became known as America's Money Maven, the more that became like my moniker, right? I'm on all these shows. I'm doing all the things. People are introducing me this way. And by the way, I don't even identify with that name anymore. I don't even, if somebody says it, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's me. But like, I don't lead with that. I don't feel like I have to, but you know, I remember people go, oh, who made you America's Money Maven? I'm like, oh, I did.
Yeah.
They're like, well, what do you mean you did? Oh, I said it enough. I said it until I believed it. And then I said it more until other people believed it.
Yep.
I thought Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey what? No. I've known Steve since I was 19 years old. I told him, introduce me as.
Yes, I love it.
Right? So you have to learn to anoint yourself. You like, the thing is, once you identify, well, this is the gift. This is the thread. Since I was young, I've always been attracted to this modality, whatever it is for you. And then you go, and what am I interested in? I think that we overthink this, right? What the heck do you like to talk about? Who do you like to serve? Like, who do you want to be around? I could coach anyone, but I adore training women. I love being in safe space with women, right? I love the vulnerability that we can create together, like in a safe container. Yes. Do I have men that want to be in my program? It happens all the time. And I'm like, bless you, brother. You're going to get what you can get from social media because I don't want to work with you like that. Boys, right? In my speaker training, I'm going to allow more men. But in my core program, no. Like, you get to build whatever the heck you want to build. It's always us, though, going like, but is this right? Why would it be wrong? It's what you enjoy. Why are you second-guessing what literally comes to you naturally? That is the juice. And the juice is in figuring out how you're always going to just embrace the next best step. What stops us and paralyzes us for far too long, right? So many, I know you're listening right now. And the truth is, you could have been doing the thing. You could have launched the podcast, right? When you thought about it 2 years ago, and now you've watched people grow and grow and grow, and you're still thinking about, oh, but should my podcast be called this or this? Girl, 1.0, change it later. Just get started.
Yes. Yes, Patrice. Yes.
Just get started. You're allowed to pivot. Nothing is set in stone. We are so fluid. We are changing and evolving every day. Why would our purpose not evolve as well? As long as you are flowing in your core gifts, again, the stuff that you just got freely, you didn't do anything for it. Some of us can sing, some of us can't. I'm passionate about singing, but baby, you're not going to pay me for it. I rarely bust out in front of people, not in my family, because you might think something's wrong with me. But I understand that I might be passionate about singing. I'm not proficient in it. So it's not my purpose, but I can do it in the shower and love it, right?
Yep.
But speaking into the hearts of women, been doing that my whole life. Yep. That's just been who I was. Even all through school, I was the one pumping my friends up. I was that girl, right?
Yep. I connect with you so much on that. Oh, yeah. Seriously. It's always girl. On my report card, talk successively. Because I got stuff to say. I don't know.
Yeah, always. Never not. But it's
I
allowed it to evolve. As I've found more things that I'm interested in, then I just continue to tweak and shift and pivot. Yeah. But it still always comes back to that core thing that I've been doing since I was a little girl.
Such great advice. Okay, so in your book, you break it down with 6 particular pillars. And one that I really want to talk to you about, because I love your take on this, is the financial aspect. Obviously, you spent so much of your career talking about finances, but what are some of the core principles within this pillar and with your beliefs about money, in particular money in the hands of women, that you think would be helpful for this community to hear?
So a lot of what I talk about in this book, and so it's no surprise probably to many of you that if you know me for any stretch of time, that it's not going to be here's how you budget. Here's how you do this. I've done that in my past books. That book, if you want that, Real Money Answers for Every Woman, all the technical stuff is in there. And redefine wealth for yourself. I really wanted to start with, shifting our mindsets, right? So the premise of the book is the first 5 pillars are the things that you want to work through, so that as you look at your money, you have the opportunity to actually do the things you already know to do. Most of us will hear a lot of great financial advice and then not follow it because our minds are cluttered.
Yeah,
our minds are cluttered. Our lives are cluttered. Our spaces are cluttered. We don't know what we're doing spiritually. We don't, our relationships are jacked up. So we're so busy trying to figure all that out all the time that when someone says, hey, you should spend less than you make, you're like, what? I don't understand that, but how, right? And so we're creating these cycles of confusion around things that are really basic and simple principles.
Yeah.
But in Redefine Wealth for Yourself, some of the stuff that I talk about, Keisha, honestly, is the respect that you have for the money you already have. You know, we're so busy with these ideas and these arbitrary numbers that I need to hit this number, but do you respect the money that you have now? Or how do you show respect? Because balling money up, avoiding opening your bills, avoiding being proactive with checking your credit or talking to, you're telling the universe or God or whatever you believe in, you're I don't care about that stuff, especially for my girls that are creatives.
Yeah.
How do you keep saying, I don't really care about money, it's not about the money, and then expect to make money? Those are that doesn't connect. That doesn't match. Mm-hmm. I don't care about money. And then you have an expectation to receive more.
Yeah.
Let's make that make sense. So a lot of what I talk about is the respect that you have for money, is to shift in mindset. It's getting you to understand that you do deserve abundance and prosperity is your birthright. I even go as far as to talk about picking up change.
Yeah.
To me, that is a wealthy habit, because I have learned to look at money on the ground. Some people are like, oh, it's gross to pick up a penny. Well, okay, I'll get it. If you won't pick it up, believe me, I'm right behind you there to swoop it up, right? Yes. I've learned to see money on the ground as opportunity, as the universe trying to get me to be more present and proactive in searching for opportunities. So when people are like, nobody's buying this thing, right?
Yeah.
Or, oh, no one signed up for my course because people just don't care about intuitive eating. Yeah. Like, you know, or no one signed up for this because no one cares about sewing. Or no, it's like, no, there's people out there. You haven't learned to spot the opportunities for you. And one practice that's like a tangible practice is walk through life and pay attention. Look around more. Yeah. I just the other day, I picked up $5, literally like a week ago, a $5 bill. My husband's like, only you, you know it. Right? And I have my daughter trained to do it. She's found a $100 bill walking into Target, but she's trained to look for the opportunities. When you feel hesitation about stopping to pick up that change, what are you saying about your ability to receive money that's lying there freely? That's how you operate when it's time to go after the bigger deal.
Ooh, that's good.
That's the same way you operate when it's time to apply for the promotion. That's the same way you operate. And you know what? It's think about the feelings that are behind this. When you see change on the ground, for example, like I'm always in the airport, you know, people throw out their change. They don't care anything about it. I stop and pick it up. I could have on a ball gown. I would care nothing. And I'm still going to pick it up. Right. And people don't stop and pick it up sometimes. And I watch people watch it because I love people watching. So I'll watch people walk by like quarters and stuff. And they kind of look and you see that they want it, but they're afraid of who's watching. It's the same thing. How many of you listening right now, you know what you want. You know you can make the sale. You know you could do it, but then you're scared. Someone's like, my cousins follow me on social media and I don't want them to think. And you start making up the stories and the excuses. Yep. And just like the man who rolled by the $5 bill that I found in the airport the other day, just like all the people who rolled by that $5 and they weren't willing to stop and explore if it was actually really $5, right? Because they were so busy worried about who was watching. Other people are getting your clients. Other people are getting your deals. Other people are getting the opportunities that are going to lead you to wealth because they don't care about who's watching.
Focused. Yes. So when people do struggle with that, when they're like, I want to go get this, but I am worried about what like Sally Sue 293 on Instagram and some random girl I'm connected with in third grade, like, you know, care about my new business or about me leaving this job and going to do something else or whatever it is, or making a decision that maybe isn't aligned with quote unquote societal norms. It's like, how do you manage that for yourself? Or when women are coming to you saying, Patrice, I know I want to do this. Like you mentor so many women, right? I know I want to do this, but insert their excuse. Like how do you help them process through that?
Oh, that's one of my favorite things to do. Okay. So first of all, I usually go and.
Yeah.
And well, my cousin is, you know, she's really critical. And the last time I tried to sell something, she sent me a DM and blah. And why haven't you blocked her? And is she your client? And is she going to pay you? Like, we just keep going down the thing. And all the answers are usually like, no. Okay, no. Okay, no. Okay, no. Okay. And what did you say you wanted to create this year? Because I also make people name the number. Like, get down to the number. What do you want to make this year? Oh, I need to make $136,000 this year to be happy. Okay. And is your cousin going to give you $136,000 this year? No. And you're going to let her stop you from going to get your $136,000? Does your cousin make $136,000 a year? No. Okay. And we just keep going. And I call in the book, I do the what if versus what is exercise.
Yes. Yes. Explain that, please. Yeah. Yes.
So the what if versus what is exercise has been such a blessing for me. And I started doing it some years ago. But what I do in my journal or piece of paper, fold it in half. And on one side, I write what if, and the other side, I write what is. Now, the what if are the fears. What are you afraid of? Right. When like somebody might look at me, somebody might see me pick up that quarter. Okay. And what is?
Yeah.
So they see you. That's the fear. What's the truth? Are you going to die? Are they going to report you to security? Are you going to be arrested for stealing money somehow? Yeah. Let's talk about what the truth is. And the more you start to list the things that are true, you realize this has been paralyzing me for what reason? Everything on the what if is basically made up. It's not as big as I'm making it. But when I just keep it swirling in my head, it seems so huge.
Yeah.
But once I write it down, I realize how minuscule it actually is and that I'm stopping myself from doing the thing for outcomes that are so unlikely that it's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's so powerful. And this is why I do really love your book, because like you said, it's not formatted with the structure of like all of these, like, do this. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. Because like that type of prescriptive language is just like, it's not helpful often because everybody's interpretation is going to be a little different. You have stories woven in with tactical things. Like, it's so good. So everybody needs to go get your book first and foremost. But also I really think it's powerful kind of how you encompassed all of these like six pillars in it. So I'd love if we could just touch on why you included these six and what they are for anyone that's not familiar. Okay. Girl, I hope you are loving this conversation with Patrice, and we're going to dive right back into it. But I wanted to quickly thank our sponsor of today's episode, which is Organifi. And if you're not familiar with Organifi, they are a company that has an entire line of organic superfoods, plant-based nutrition, and supplements. High quality ingredients, high quality taste, and a really great price, which is like the ultimate trifecta. And honestly, I love their protein, but I really want to make sure that you're in the loop about their green juice, because I previously used to think I wasn't a green juice kind of girl because every green juice that I had tried tasted like it was like I was eating grass or something. But this green juice tastes phenomenal, and it's got moringa, tons of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, chlorella, spirulina, which is actually an algae, matcha, and it has mint, which just like cuts the taste to make it really phenomenal that you can literally like stir it into water and just drink it. Like, I genuinely enjoyed the taste. And then if you're like, oh, I don't want any greens type of stuff, mix it into your smoothie, right? It's absolutely phenomenal. And then if you're looking for more like immunity support, which is obviously so important right now, they have a product called Immunity, which is orange. You can just stir it in with water as well. Take it with you on the go. It has immune supporting compounds like mushroom beta glucan, which is actually a reishi mushroom extract. It's got acerola cherry and orange and ginger, turmeric, all of these powerful antioxidants, minerals, and vitamins to support your immune system. So definitely go check out their products. There's so many incredible products. They've got Harmony, which is their hormone balancing tea. They've got Gold. They have so many great products. And you get 20% off any of their products using code Keisha. If you head to Organifi.com/Keisha and use code Keisha, you get 20% off any item in their store. Again, that's Organifi, Organifi.com/Keisha. Code Keisha for 20% off. And definitely slide into my DMs and let me know. I love hearing what products you're vibing with. This is one of my favorite companies ever, which is why I brought them on as a sponsor of the show. So without further ado, let's dive back into this conversation with Patrice.
So the six pillars, and we could link to like a cheat sheet that just breaks.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
But so the six pillars, the first one is fit. It's about being physically and mentally fit. We talk about becoming your best self. And that's really important because we hear there is no wealth without health, but how many of us actually take the time to make our health and wellness a priority? And I truly believe that many of us are praying for things. We have a vision for our lives, but we don't make it our duty and responsibility to protect the vessel, the only vessel we get.
Yeah.
We have to protect it, mind, body, spirit. And that comes first, because without it, everything else is like for naught, right? So that's the first pillar. The second pillar is people. There we talk about creating relationships that matter personally and professionally. One of the things that stands out to me is, you know, personally, when those relationships are intact, we can show up so much better professionally. You know, one of the things I always say is I have no desire to be a public success and a private failure, right?
Literally, that is one of my favorite things I've ever heard anyone say. Say it one more time for the people that are cruising on the freeway or throwing their loofah in there in the shower.
Yes. I have no desire to be a public success, yet a private failure. And that means, you know, many of us are so busy putting up the facade on social and trying to share highlights, but our relationships are deteriorating with our children, with our spouses, right? So I talk about how nurturing those relationships, the personal relationships in my lives, have actually helped me make more money, because knowing that that's intact, when I'm present in an interview or on stage or doing whatever I do, I can be fully present. Yeah. Not in the back of my mind thinking, oh my gosh, my daughter hates me. Like, you know, having all these conversations that are really conflicting, because you may self-sabotage opportunities because you're uncertain of how it's going to impact your family. And that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you may be self-sabotaging different ways to make more money because you've made, you know, you feel like, oh, my spouse won't like this, or they won't want me to be more successful, or I don't want to out-earn my boyfriend. Like, all of that is real. So creating relationships that matters, that section is really about helping you heal those relationships and just be more present to them. And then also professionally remembering that there's always someone watching you who has the power to bless you.
Yeah.
But how are they watching you show up? Right. So what are we doing on stage and off stage, behind the scenes? Because all of that matters. And I am only here because of relationships. I never pitch for things. I can count on my hand in 10 years how many things I've actually pitched for. And yet I've had incredible opportunities, and they've all come through relationships. So I talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
And then let's see, space filler is about setting up your life to support you. Again, we waste so much time. Yeah. There's a statistic out there. It's over 70%, I think, of 76% of people, waste time every day looking for things they already own but can never find. Like, so think about how often you're going in circles, like, where are my keys? Where's my phone? Where's this? Where's that? Right?
Yeah.
So that's 30 minutes. The 30 minutes that you may need a day to focus on writing that blog post, or to recording your quick podcast episode, or to just brainstorming and thinking about your business, you waste it because your life is unorganized. And so in that section, we talk about clutter being the physical manifestation of chaos in your mind. Yeah. Sometimes the answers that you need to get to your next level in wealth building are right in front of you. You can't see it because your mind is blocked with physical clutter. So we talk about clearing out spaces and organization and like setting the tone and mood. Like, I'm here with you now, right now, interviewing, and I have a candle going, and I ran in, right? I just came from doing an event for my daughter's school, and I like run in. But the first thing I do to set the mood and the tone for this interview to be, you know,
and you can feel your presence because of the environment that you're curating around you and in your head. Like, you can feel it. Anyone that's listening to this can feel that, like, you're not thinking about anything else that's going on in your world, which is a million other things, because you're so present where your feet are because of that. And I think people brush off the space pillar of like, oh, well, but it works for me, Patrice. But it's like, girl, does it? Does it work for you? Like, does it?
Yeah.
Right?
You know, people have really fooled themselves to believe, and this is my belief. You know, I love an organized mess, or it's like, do you really know how much that's costing you? Like, you know, one of the things we talk about in that section are the energy drain. So when your space has all this stuff that just ticks you off, right? It's like, you know, you see that pile of laundry that's been on your bed for a really long time. You're like, ooh, every time you have to go, ooh, and it's like a zap to your energy. That's energy that could have been redirected towards something positive, towards something that you really wanted. And some of us are having those moments of every day because we're seeing the same stuff in the same space that we refuse to take a step back. And many of us don't deal with it in the name of being busy.
Yeah.
No, it's costing you. It's costing you a lot in the background. And your space also teaches people how to treat you.
So true.
When your space is out of order, people feel like they can come in and do whatever they want. When your space is tight, they will stand there with their hands folded as to not mess up anything. And that's the type of respect you want people to have for your environment, because any environment that I'm in is sacred.
Yeah. Ooh, so good.
Yes.
I love it.
Next pillar is faith. Faith is about believing in something greater. You know, I always say, I don't care what you believe in. I'm just here to say that if you say you believe in something, make time to practice it. Make time to create a morning routine, an evening routine, some type of practice, because life is coming. And the thing that I've learned about faith more than anything is that it is the secret weapon for resilience. When you have a faith practice that you can lean on, because life is coming, not a matter of if, it's when. When you have a sacred practice of some kind that you can tap into when life comes to slap you around, as we all, I think at this point, have been slapped around, right? Yep. Having that faith practice is a thing that reminds you, this didn't happen to me. It happened for me. Let me fight to see a lesson. Let me find the blessing. What it helps you do is not cave every time something happens. So whatever that is, it's not enough to snack on it. You need to feast on it. It's not enough to right? A lot of us are spiritually malnutrition. And the effects of malnutrition, they're not good. They ain't good, right? And it's the same way in your spiritual life. So we talk a lot about that. And then...
Patrice, one thing, I feel like so many things that you say could be put on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker because you have like fire one-liners. I can guarantee you that there's some people that just like they're switching their laundry in it right now and they just went back 15, back 30. They're like, write that down, write that. Like, thank you. Anyways, sorry, continue to the work pillar.
Funny. So work pillar is about living your life's purpose. And we touched on this in the beginning. It's really about identifying what are my gifts? What do I feel really led to do? Who do I feel led to serve? And then it's like understanding that that doesn't mean you have to be an entrepreneur. Can we just say that? You can figure this out within somebody else's business. Everyone is not meant to be an entrepreneur. And I hate this like idea that like everybody must leave their 9 to 5. Girl,
oh my goodness.
The thing is,
how would society function if everyone was an entrepreneur? Like it doesn't even actually make sense. So I totally agree with you on that.
And the thing is, when people are not settled in a lot of these pillars that we're talking about, especially if they come from toxic work environments, what they do is start a business and create the same struggle that they had. All you've done is just traded one struggle for the next, like because you're not mentally ready, especially people who have endured like workplace trauma. It's a real thing, right?
Yeah.
So with Live Your Life's Purpose, it's about identifying what those gifts are, like we talked about, and just making sure that you're taking the right gift and using it in the right place. Because I believe a lot of people, the reason they're unfulfilled is that they're using the right gift in the wrong industry. Mm-hmm. They might be using the right gift in the wrong environment, in the wrong ministry. And now you're frustrated and it's making you question the gift. So now you keep going, I got to find my purpose. No, like you're right there, but you have to let go. This is, you know, I love talking about surrender. Sometimes we have such a grip on the title, on the esteem. What does it look like? Like we get into our ego and it's like, no, I went to school to be a lawyer. I must stay a lawyer. Ma'am, you're unhappy. Maybe the skills that you learn, you're supposed to use in a different way to serve people. Doesn't have to be as an attorney.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be in that law firm where they do cases that don't really sit right in your spirit, then maybe you need to take your skills and your talents somewhere else and use it in a way that's more purposeful. It's not that you weren't meant to be an attorney. It's that maybe you weren't meant to be an attorney in that space. And that's okay to recognize it and be willing to let go of what you think other people are going to say. This is not about other people's expectations. This is about your fulfillment. Because one thing that I will tell you with my America's Money Maven hat on is that when you're unfulfilled, more than likely it's going to lead to financial mismanagement. That unfulfillment keeps creating a void and that void just grows and grows and grows. So if you are someplace that you've hated for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, I can only imagine the void and I am so sorry, right? Yeah. Because what you've probably done, and I don't have to know you personally to know this, what you've probably done is try to fill that gap, try to fill that void with buying people, places, or things. Mm-hmm. We love to buy people. That's why you go out and buy every, you know, pick up the tab and tell everyone not to worry about it. And, you know, you got it because that makes you feel like this job that's sucking my soul or this environment that like I hate is worth it because now I can go out and show everyone else I'm successful. See, I got it. Don't worry about it, right? Yeah. So we buy people. Some of us also buy people with giving to a fault.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about paying me back. And, you know, good and hell well, you have student loans and you need to get that money back. Right? Buying people, places. It's the, like, I am all for live your life, do your thing. Like, I love traveling. I love seeing the world. I love creating experiences with my family as well. Some of us are just trying to escape. And we're constantly trying to escape. And we're constantly trying to create this, like, I believe in living your aspirational reality. However, what I noticed a lot in my practice is people would always have to go somewhere and do something and create something because they're running away from their real life, right? Mm. You wouldn't have to run if what you did actually fulfilled you. There's a way to
go.
I love vacation, but I'm not running away from my life. I'm just taking a vacation. Some of y'all are running, right?
Yes.
Places and then things, the stuff. We all know the stuff. I got to get a bigger house. I got to get the better car. I got to move closer to the beach. I got to get more black shoes. I know I have 13 pair, but 14. Like, and oh, I love makeup. It's just that I love makeup. So, you know, my makeup routine. So I have $900 of makeup every month. Ma'am, you can't afford that, right?
Yeah.
But you're unfulfilled. So you're trying to fill the void with stuff.
Yeah.
Places, things. That's what I talk about. And, you know, that's why when you are clear about your purpose and know that you are operating in it, your priorities just change. Yeah. You don't care about window shopping. Like you know, it's not a constant need to go find something to buy so you can prove something. You know, when you are walking in purpose, you have nothing to hide, nothing to defend, nothing to protect, right? You're just living your life. I have nice things don't have me. I'm not saying that you got to be outside looking like a pauper or anything, but I'm also saying, you know, I'm not going to go wait in line to buy some Gucci shoes. Like, you know, I've seen it all. I've heard it all. I'm like, let me get this right. So you went over there, right? You got in your vehicle, drove over there, waited in line for 9 hours to do what now? Buy shoes? I'm sorry. In 9 hours, how many women could I serve? How many episodes could I record? I'm sorry. Like, how many things could I do that were actually going to help me be of service and make more money than go over here? To, right? But people get trapped in that thinking you would be, I don't know, you might be surprised, maybe not, because I know you work with a lot of folks too.
Yeah.
It gets real. So that's the fifth pillar. And then we get into the sixth pillar, which is finally money. And it's just about, I just want to shift people's mindset towards abundance. Yeah. Towards, you know, this idea that you can have what you want. The tenets of, you know, good personal finance are so basic. It's not rocket science. We just don't do it because of all the other pillars that need some attention. So in like with my community, yes, my programs are business, yes, but I'm always like, how's your family?
Yep.
Like, have you been to the doctor? I've had women in my programs. We had this push where we really encouraged everyone to get an annual checkup. Like, are y'all taking care of yourself? Like, in the process of trying to serve everyone else, what are you doing for you? Do you know one woman discovered throat cancer? And she was able to catch it.
Oh my gosh.
And she was able to catch it and get it removed. And it saved her life. Like, yes, was she called to serve people? Absolutely. As long as she's in good health though. And so, and she's a poet. So imagine, right? Imagine, oh, I want to build this business around being a poet and all the things. And you're not even taking care of yourself. So the point that you had no idea you had throat cancer.
Wow.
Like, you know, that's, I'm always like, I'm all for building the business, but the business is only going to grow to the extent you're willing to heal and deal with the parts of your life. And we're going to have to talk about those things too, because we don't, we're in one dimensional. You got to have to deal with it all.
So I love this so much. When someone gets your book, obviously it's, you know, laid out in the way that we just described all the six pillars. When they're thinking about, because obviously it feels like sometimes when you've got tons of goals in all these different areas, like you're remodeling every room in your house at the same time. It's like, like it feels like a lot. Do you encourage them to kind of go through it the way that you laid it out purposefully, right? Of like focusing on, let me take care of my health first and like move through it. Is that how you'd encourage them to do it?
Yeah. I really think everyone should start with the fifth pillar. Because we just underestimate, right? Like how critical that is in the journey. So I like for everyone to start with the fifth pillar. And then I say like, I wrote the book in a way that you could literally go through the table of contents or open it up to any page and be like, I'm just going to learn this one principle today. And then if it really hits you in the spirit, you could be like, you know, I'm going to marinate on this one all week. I'm just going to like, because there's a lot of action steps, right? So there's things where I'm like, hey, write this out or do this thing or set your calendar up this way or whatever. And so you may just need the week just to focus on that one idea. But I've had people reach out to me and say, like I went through the book and realized that my people pillar jacked up. I'm only going to focus on people pillar this quarter. And I'm like, yep. Do your thing. Because yeah. It takes time. Everything that I've shared are different beliefs, rituals, practices, habits that have been built over a decade, if not some of them even more, right? Yeah. Even longer. So it doesn't happen overnight. I think the book is written in a way that brings awareness to these concepts so that you do see, wow, this really is all kind of connected. And then you get to choose for yourself. Where do I feel like I need to really, you know, start? And some people go, I'm just going to start with faith.
Yeah. So good. So good. Okay. Two last questions for you. Number one, I want to know, how do you support yourself from the space that you are now, like it, the space that you're in currently, which is a big distance probably from where you want to go, because you're a big dreamer. A lot of women listen to this podcast and they're like, I'm here and I want to go there. And I know deep down that I'm capable and I've got all this potential and I'm working on it. But sometimes they get frustrated in that space in between, like, and they ask themselves crappy questions like, when am I ever going to get there? And stuff like that. How do you support yourself as such a big dreamer, ambitious go-getter?
Oh, that's a great question. To be honest with you, I have no attachment to where my career goes. I just trust that it'll continue to lead me in the direction that I should go. So there are things that I just signed a deal this week that I didn't know this was even a possibility on January 1st. Wasn't praying for it. Wasn't in my peripheral view. Like I wasn't it wasn't a thought in my mind. Right. And so to avoid that level of anxiety, I think is what you described. I am committed to the vision of doing my part to redefine wealth for this generation. I'm not attached to what that looks like.
Yes. Oh, whenever people ask me that, I always say like, I don't have the exact thing. I'm just going that direction. And I know that it's going to evolve over time. So even if I had that exact goal, it's going to change anyways, because I'm so open to just making sure that it's an authentic aligned path toward getting there. So I love your answer to that. Okay. You also may or may not know that we have a public Spotify playlist for this podcast. And I want to put on there a pump up jam that you vibe with, like a Patrice pump up jam. So what's a song that makes you like shake your butt or gets you pumped or whatever?
I would say right now I've been doing Ape Shit, Beyonce and Jay-Z.
So good. Yeah, it's needed. It's needed for your soul sometimes.
That's still a pump up. And then a close second would be All I Do Is Win. That's still like the remix. A good one for me too. That's like a real pump up. Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So where can we get your book? Obviously we get your book anywhere, but how can we also connect with you and listen to your podcast and what programs you have? Like give us your juice.
Yeah. So actually, PatriceWashington.com is the best place for all things Patrice Washington. I love Instagram. I'm not a huge social media fan. I wasn't in the beginning, but Instagram is my jam. So definitely find me there. Seek Wisdom PCW. And I think too, if you want the cheat sheet for the pillars, just have that PatriceWashington.com/start here. And you can get this audio training and the pillars, and it'll just break it down a little further. So you know what to expect in the book, and you'll see links to the book on the website as well.
Yep. And then your podcast, tell them who your podcast is for when you release episodes.
So Redefining Wealth is the podcast. We're actually all really, really close to 10 million downloads now.
What's up? Yes.
4-year anniversary is coming up here soon, and we're going to be doing some new fun and exciting things to switch it up a bit. But you'll learn more about the pillars every week. My goal is just to kind of have an interview or a solo insight that's connected to a pillar. So that these conversations are always top of mind. It's a lot of great food for thought, and people seem to love it. They keep coming back. So
I love
the podcast.
And just to close this out with a bow, any like thing that's on your heart right now that you want to share with this audience that you think could be helpful for them?
You know, I'm preparing for this challenge coming up called Committed to the Call. And what just keeps coming up, like every morning I'm getting downloads. And I think right now, for anyone, I just want to say, commit to the call. You know what's calling you. There's this nudge, there's this nagging feeling inside that you should go in some direction. and you just have that grip and you won't let go. And I'm telling you, man, this journey has been so beautiful because I learned to surrender every day, like over and over again. And I'm just committed to answering the call. So be flexible with yourself, but be committed. Don't be someone who's just interested, because all they do is talk about it, think about it, you know, research forever and a day, and they never pull the trigger. There is so much beauty in commitment. Commit to the call and it will not fail you.
Oh, thank you so much, Patrice. I appreciate you, how you just are such a light of a person. And, you know, it's really important to pay attention to how you feel when you leave people. And I always just am like so pumped and so inspired leaving you. So thank you. I appreciate you.
It's always good to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.